Hey, everyone, and welcome back to The Perspective. My name's Ethan, and your hosts for the evenings are SR and Brainbug. How you guys doing?
Hey, yeah, doing great. So happy to be able to be finally hosting with Secular Rarity. It's been, yeah, we don't get to spend a lot of time hanging out live together, so awesome.
And I am also excited. I know many of you out there will notice that my microphone is currently clear of bugs. We're hoping to fix that at some point throughout the show, but we don't know if that will be the case or not. So you know Brainbug's always got something great for us. So
in the meantime, I will keep this right here to supplement your lack. Okay.
So for those who don't know, this is a show where we tackle supernatural and paranormal claims, belief in aliens, conspiracy theories, and pretty much any other political claim or claim you want to bring us, and we apply a skeptic's lens to it. If you're interested or you have an experience you want to share, the number is at the bottom of the screen, 951-364-2430. We already have a bunch of calls, so we have to jump right in. So I'll go ahead and bring on your first guest, and then you guys can take over. I'd like to welcome Stacy. Stacy, you are on with Brainbug and Secular Rarity.
Hey, Stacy. Good to hear from you. Hello. I hear you have a haunted house. Is that right?
Seems to be that way.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, it's owned by my family, and it was built around 1850. My brother lived here with his family for about 12 years prior to me and my boys moving in. And they have seen things and heard voices and had just strange things
happen. How old are
your
boys?
My boys are 22 and 16, and we have lived here for about 8 years now.
How old were they when they first reported the noises? How was it recent or was it years ago?
We noticed things off and on pretty much as soon as we moved in here. We moved in here in 2014.
Yeah. Okay. So they would have been a bit younger at the time,
they're
right?
Still like around about teenagers.
Yeah, still teenagers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But my 22-year-old recently had something happen up in his room. The upstairs is just two bedrooms. You walk through one to get to the other. And we have a like an accordion type door in between the rooms, and mm-hmm. He said the door kept moving so much he finally took it off because it was freaking him out. And he said it felt like something ran through his room and hit his bed while he was laying in it.
Wow.
So, I mean, I wasn't up there obviously, but
so
probably the
you say the door was moving, you mean it was moving like by itself?
Yes, like, you know, like an accordion door, and it was mm-hmm. just moving in and out by itself.
Oh, that would be weird to see. Yeah.
When your son said that it felt like something ran across the room and hit it. I don't much anymore, Stacy, but I have in the past just ran full sprint directly into a wall, you know? My question is that what he was kind of talking about, or was it more like he felt someone like run past him, maybe like a gust of wind, or was it a force? Was it a
He said it just seemed like something just rushed through his room and hit his bed on the way by.
Okay. So kind of a passing glance more so than a direct collision. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, some like presence moving past him with maybe some air movement. Is that'd be my expectation anyhow. We'd be dealing with some air
especially
movement.
You said the house was like 1850s era, right? I mean, those that definitely when it comes to, you know, cracks and crevices and airflow and stuff. I mean, those types of buildings are notorious for that.
He said he felt his bed move.
Yeah. What do you think for you? Would because I it sounded like you were saying that you've also had some similar experiences over the years, right?
Yes, definitely.
What do you think would change about your life if you found out that one of those experiences wasn't true. Like if there was just one that could be demonstrably, you know, maybe shown to be false in some way, like we could point out the faulty light or whatever. What do you think would be different?
I would absolutely be fine with that. Yeah. I'm a skeptical believer, I guess you could say.
So
there's just been a lot of strange things that happen around here, and people have seen. Well, one of the things that my son, I was walking down the patio with my dog, and my son come out and asked who was out there with me, and I said nobody, and he said I just watched somebody walk behind you down the patio. Hmm. I mean, and he's 20, you know, 22. I don't think he's gonna lie to me.
Oh no, definitely. I don't think anybody would imply that it was a lie. Maybe I would say that the options of it being a misinterpretation of events might be a better classification for what I would assess happened in these different situations. With the door moving, were these pocket doors, like say accordion doors? Are they coming out of the walls?
No, it doesn't come out of the wall. It's just something that we put in there.
Oh, something that was put in it. Okay, afterwards. Because, houses in the 1850s, I know they have the big pocket doors that slide out of the walls. They're nice and fancy. But those are also, with these pocket doors, are also connected all the way through to the attic of the house. So if the attic's drafty, you can feel it coming through them in the winter. But anyway.
There was one like that in my grandma.
What's that?
There was a door like that at my grandma's house, and it moved a lot. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Anyhow, so we're gonna move away from that then, because if it wasn't pocket doors, then what I was thinking about there is gonna be irrelevant. But let's go on about the appearance of somebody. Did he describe the person that you were talking with?
Yeah.
He just said they were shorter than me, and I'm only 5'1", so I would say maybe a child. But other than that, he didn't really describe anything.
Description or anything.
And this was the person he said was following you on the porch, right?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever had an experience, or you know, your sons or anybody else in your family? Because I think you said that this house was in your family for a while. Have any of y'all ever had an experience where something is just stark, clear as day, you know, no way, shape, or form this could be anything else, just standing like right in front of you? Have you ever had an occurrence like that?
Well, my brother, who lived here, very hardworking, straight-laced, honest man, okay? When he lived here, he said one night he woke up and he saw a little girl standing at the end of the bed. And he was just about to tell his daughter to go back to bed when he remembered that she wasn't even here. She was staying at her grandma's house. And he said he watched this little girl turn around and walk out of the bedroom and turn through the living room towards the bathroom.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah.
100%.
I think he experienced that too, probably. I don't think that he's making it up. I do think it may have been a hypnopompic hallucination. That's where, like, in between the stages of sleep and awake, sleep paralysis can happen in that state too. And that's when you get more aggravating visitors. But you can have all kinds of experiences. I think a lot of what people experience with alien abduction, spiritual encounters, things like that, when they're sleeping, it might be linked to that, at least for the majority of the situations. Do you think that's a possibility that could have happened with your brother?
Well, I think anything's a possibility.
What do you think?
Leave it open for that. Yeah.
I believe he believes, you know.
What do you think is more likely, Stacy? Like if you had to put all of your life savings on it. I mean, you obviously don't, right? But if you had to, would you say it's more likely that it was a ghost or it was an apparition of some kind, or more likely that, you know, maybe this weird half dreaming, half awake thing. Where would you kind of shake out on that?
Well, hearing all of my brother and his wife and their kids, hearing their stories and knowing the things that I have experienced in this house, I would go with it's paranormal. It is definitely haunted.
Well, thank you for being honest to that question, because I mean that kind of shows us where you're standing on this and where we can, you know, where we can move forward on that. Because once we start breaking things down, the whole deck might fall over when you start looking at each. Because then that's the thing; it's cumulative, right? All these different little oddball situations, you know, some movement here, something, maybe some things being moved around the house. Where, oh, I left my keys. I know I left them here, and now they're not here. Not saying that that's in your situation, but a lot of these. The situations that kind of cement that there's a haunting going on is all accumulation of a whole lot of different smaller events. And do you think that that's a apt assessment of the residents that you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I've never seen anything move. I've never known I've set my keys here and then they weren't there. Nothing like that. It's mostly just loud noises. You see things out of the corner of your eye, or like my son, well, that really wasn't out of the corner of his eye. I had a friend here one night. He actually got up and left because he said he saw somebody out on the patio when we were sitting here watching TV. And he actually left. He got up and left.
So real quick, I just want to say, Stacy, first off, again, I want to echo what Brain Bug just said, that this way I'll actually point to you, Bree. I do appreciate you being so honest with us on this, because I think where Brain Bug and I would shake out is that it's more likely that it's just one of those weird brainy things that happens, like this whole squishy mass of substance up here is just wild, you know, and it makes all these weird connections all the time. Yeah. But again, I wanted to say that, and I know we have a couple of other really cool calls, and we're going to have to move on in just a few moments. But before we do, the thought that was coming to my mind, especially just a moment ago, do you ever experience these types of events in other places around your town or any travels you've done?
Other places you've lived?
Yeah. Or are they all focused there?
No. I used to live in a house across the pasture field from the one I live in now. My ex and I cleared the land. We had a basement built and we put a modular home on there. So it was brand new.
Yeah.
And we had all kinds of weird things happen over there too.
Interesting.
You could hear, you know, like a sliding glass door is like a really distinct noise.
Yeah.
There's a sliding glass door in the basement, and you could hear the sliding glass door like open and close. Stuff like
Interesting.
That.
Interesting.
We both was laying on the couch one night watching TV, and we both saw a white something float down the hallway.
Oh yeah,
I guess
sounds like you have a lot of good stories that you could go over and look into some of the information on. This has been really enjoyable talking to you, and I'd love it for you to call back with some of these other stuff, especially visual things like where you're seeing orbs floating and stuff. I'd love to unpack that. Unfortunately, we're like at the end of the call right now, so we do have to bounce. But thank you so much, Stacy. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. I hope you keep investigating these things and looking into them and just thinking about them each individual instance critically, and what are the options? What could it have been naturally? But Stacy, thank you so much for calling us tonight.
We try to keep an open mind. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely give us a call back. Some of those other stories sounded really interesting too. So it's not always just Brain Bug and I, but all right. Well, let's I may have dropped just a bit early, but that's okay. Yeah, that I want to hear some of those other ones, you know.
Yeah. Well, if I had known she had a story about seeing an orb float down the hallway, I would have wanted to start with that. That would have been a really good when it's something visual like that, when it interacts with the environment around it, that's where I get interested, because, you know, a lot of the stuff people's like, oh, I had visions and things like that. You can't investigate it. So you can't say this is, you know, something that actually happened or something that happened inside your mind. But when it's interacting with the environment around it, then we can really start to unpack some things.
I think that was kind of why you and I both focused in on you went for the sliding doors, and I went for the force against the bed. And I agree. I think that's where we really find some cool stuff. But it looks like are you seeing these calls? You see one that looks cool to you?
I got my studio up looking at all these great calls we got coming up over the next hour and a half or so.
You pick this one, I'll take the next one. How about it?
All right. You want to, let's see here. Who do we have?
There's some good stuff. There's a Mothman.
There's a Mothman. Oh my God. I promised I would squeal, but some of these people have been waiting a little bit longer than Mothman. So I want to pick one ahead of Mothman, and maybe you'll be doing the Mothman one next. How about that?
I like
it. Let's mix it up a little bit. Let's provide compelling evidence for God. We haven't had a call like that. At least I haven't had a call like that since I've been on in a while. So yeah, let's bring on Michael in Florida. Michael in Florida, you are on with Secular Rarity and Brain Bug, and we are interested in your compelling evidence for God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to be here. I wanted to ask a question, if I may.
Sure.
The question was posed to me that I provide compelling evidence of a God. That was verbatim exactly the question I was asked. And I wanted to know what your definition of compelling is.
So I would say, for me personally, I would prefer that when we use the word compelling evidence for, we just put the last word in that sentence as an X, and you can just swap out literally any noun you like. So if you have a car, I would like compelling evidence for your car. If you have experienced joy in your life, I'll take compelling evidence for that. They're all on the same level for me. So did that kind of answer it, or was that not good?
No, I'm curious what your definition of the word compelling means.
That right there, in the sense of evidence.
Compelling would be having the power to convince.
Right. Like that's the basic dictionary.
Power
definition.
To convince. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I came on here because I am a mythologist. I spend a great deal of time researching and studying the oral traditions of different cultures in order to figure out how we're connected, what prompts one society as opposed to another, and how those intersect. So the issue that I have with so many people that try to discuss, you know, the compelling origin of gods or cultures or this, that, and the other thing, is the perception that it has to be more absolutist, or it has to be more profoundly one side or the other. And the reason I say that is because there is a single belief structure that has existed in every single culture, at least as far as how they originated, how they evolved. And in many of them, they retain most of that belief structure throughout the term of that culture. And that belief structure is called animism. Have you ever heard the word before?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Anyone who doesn't know what animism is, animism is the belief in a spirit or a soul in everything, from the grass to the rocks to the air to the trees to ourselves to the animals. They all have a sense of inclusion in how everyone is necessary for that environment to sustain itself. And one of the greatest examples of that is actually Norse mythology. And in Norse mythology, it happens to be my particular specialty. I know a great deal about these stories. We have two different sides of it. We have the very polytheistic side that most people ascribe to. So Odin, Thor, Tyr, Freya, Frigg, all of them. And then you have the animistic side. And so depending on how far you go back in the Norse pantheon, you have a connection to that animism. And what makes it so compelling is that every culture has an attachment to it, to its environment.
Can I stop you right there, Michael? Can I jump in real quick? Because I just want a bit of a clarification. This was why I had a bit of a confused look on my face earlier, and you kind of circle back around to it. So I want are you saying that this concept of a spirit, of a soul existing in like essentially all existence is something that all documented cultures throughout human history have adhered to?
Can you name one that doesn't?
Off the top of my head, I forget the culture in the South American jungle that is often referenced in this moment. So I forget the token one that people always go, this culture we know for a fact did not have these belief in spirits and souls, but I would be surprised if there weren't others.
Well,
I'm sure there are some.
Okay.
The context of what I'm trying to convey, and perhaps I'm not doing it properly, is that at every level of a cultural evolution, there is this animistic aspect to it.
I have a theory about that. Can I propose a reason for that that doesn't involve there being a compelling God? So the idea of the spirit world in general is, I mean, it goes even the most primitive cultures, and you would agree because it kind of goes with what you're saying here. They all had this idea that there was a world that existed outside because they visited it all the time. They saw it. They moved around in it. There were things there. All the mountains and the trees, they were all there. Every single night when they laid down their head and closed their eyes, they visited this world. And it proved that everything that exists here existed in this other realm too, this dream world, this spirit realm. There was a spirit to the tree. There was a spirit to the bird, to the rock, because they saw them in their dreams. They were there in their dreams. So they were in the spirit world too. So the idea that a spirit existed first was confirmed by the fact that we have dream states, and then further compounded the idea of spirituality and the spirit within these other objects and organisms, because when they slept, they dreamt about them, so they existed in that world as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
Okay.
The way that this was bound, though, is actually the thing I was trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Okay. Overall, in Old Norse mythology, we talk about something called cedar. You ever heard the term before?
No.
Not the wood cedar, but S-E-I-D-R.
Oh, okay.
Mm-mm. So cedar is the Norse word for magic. It quite literally means to see without seeing. It also means to communicate with those beyond. And so these people that followed cedars, they were cedar were called vulva. They were called a variant of different things, from witches to many pagan variants.
Did you say vulva or volga?
I think he said
V-O-L-V-A.
Okay.
Different.
I'm completely different vulva than what I was thinking about.
Yeah, same.
Yes, I understand that there is a sexualized assumption there, but that's not.
You're good. You're good, Michael.
Go on.
Reason that I bring it up is these practitioners, and that's what they were called, would be honored people among societies, and they would traditionally communicate with different variants of gods or spirits or what have you. And those belief structures allowed people to establish cultures based on what the gods may or may not have wanted. And these Volva were the first ones to really, at least I must preface that by saying that many of these shamans, if you want to think of it more indigenously, were speaking this way 3200 BCE. We're not talking about, you know, yesterday. We're talking about a very, very long time ago.
Right.
And the perception was that a culture could not stand without this shamanic understanding of the world around them. In the Celts, you had the Brians. In the pagans, you had the witches. Almost all of these cultures that had these understandings either had a shamanic belief structure or a judge-based belief structure.
Can I jump in for a second, Michael? Do you mind?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure that you're not. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding. But it almost sounds like to me what you're saying is that ancient societies essentially were really only successful if they had this shamanistic, animistic type view. But also, it kind of sounds like you're saying, so many of these societies throughout history, even up until today, have these kinds of thoughts. And are you saying, I mean, am I understanding that first? Am I understanding that right?
Yes.
Okay. So are you saying that those two things right there is demonstration of God or deities or supernatural? Is that what you're getting at?
No, I was getting that. And I do certainly, I can see where you come up with that presumption. The thing I was getting at is once you have established this animism ideal, now you have this shamanistic approach. Once you have that, you can now leave this nomadic life. Once you leave this nomadic life, then you can start agriculture, you can start homesteading, you can start, actually regulating your hunting grounds, things of that nature, actually build a civilization.
Oh, yeah, spirituality was
civilization.
Beneficial. Yeah, it was beneficial to the development of civilization. Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. It's still beneficial in many aspects to have, spirituality. It builds certain levels of empathy and things like that. So I definitely agree that it was a benefit to, mm-hmm. a boon to society, especially in the early days, I can imagine. Go on.
The idea of now you have this permanent settlement, and these permanent settlements are generally controlled in one of two ways. You either had this council type ideal that included these shamans or witches or however you want to put them. Shamans or judges would have been a better way to put it. Or you would have despots. That's what's being the strongest guy is the conquering armor, is controlling everything. Now, what happened as a result of the shamans being so successful in isolating these cultures is despots began to hold on to these belief structures as a way of establishing that they were right in what they were trying to do. It gave people a sense of comfort that their gods were on the sides of whoever was leading them. And this is true in polytheistic ideologies. This is true in monotheistic ideologies. This is even true in some animistic ideologies. The idea of conquering is almost hand in hand with the belief in a god. Now, not necessarily a single god or not necessarily a god by name, but a god in structure. That as long as you do this, you will be blessed by X personage. And as those societies get more and more advanced, you have people left over. And the people that are left over that are not allowed to worship the gods that they want and not allowed to celebrate the cultures that they've grown up with become slaves to the ones that are now in charge of them. Hmm. And these slaves now encourage those cultures to actually begin developing technologies because now they no longer have to work in the fields or hunt on their own.
Okay.
They have the ability to continue to develop civilization.
Can I hop in again, Michael?
So,
Because I think, because we do have a couple of other really cool calls, and we want to get to those. And again, let me say this. Bree said it for the first call, and I'll say it for you, Michael. We appreciate you calling us, because I think this type of really, you know, casual and honest conversation is really valuable. You know, I have not been convinced just yet, and I don't think Brainbug was either, but we would love to continue this conversation. One of the things for me, real quick, and then I'll toss it over and see if Bree has anything, and then we'll let you get the final word. But it sounds to me like you do have some bullet points in there, some real nice big red circles that are like, yep, totally. Because I think especially like the last thing you were saying, there were a lot of societies that enslaved groups of people for generations. America, for instance, mm-hmm. it was only able to achieve the success it had because we had slaves. But I don't know how that points towards anything supernatural necessarily. I saw the connection through the despots and the spiritualism and the animism and so forth in terms of like the evolution of it. But it just seemed to me more than anything that we're making some assumptions that we don't have as much founding for as I would like. But again, I think it's been really interesting for sure. Breed, was there anything else you wanted?
You didn't say too much that I would disagree with about, you know, how the impact of spirituality and animism on our development and even the development of our understanding and of deism, and then from that theism by personifying everything, the world around us. I think that you could really draw some good links there. Now, to say that it's evidence that means that it exists, we're not, yeah, like SR said, we're not quite there yet. Maybe we could be, though, with more conversation. I like that you're taking this anthropological approach to it and the way that it developed with our culture. You don't see that a lot, especially as far back as you're going, with a lot of discussions about deities in general, or deism, animism, any of this. So it's really an interesting route to take, and I would like to continue on. If we didn't have so many calls waiting, I'd pick your brain quite a bit more. But let's give you the last thought on it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate everything that you've been saying. My intent was to give the impression that God isn't a person. God is a destination. We want to believe that by continuing to develop as a culture, we get closer and closer to whatever fixation of ideal we have. And once we attain a level of accomplishment in whatever we're trying to do, we can attain the heaven ideal, or the Elysium ideal, or the Hrothgar ideal, Valhalla, whatever you want to call it. It's not that God is or is not a person. It's that God is different for every single person who actually believes in them. And it doesn't matter whether you are atheistic or not. We all have ideals. We all have somewhere we want to presume we are either putting ourselves or the people that we care about closer to. And those ideals can easily be seen as either superhuman or godlike in perception. And well, on a purely conceptual level, we can easily do that, but it would be much longer to talk about the other two.
Yeah, and I think even though where we sit on this side, we're not in that same camp with you there in that belief. Again, I think it was a really good conversation, and at no point in time did either of us tell the other how terrible of a person we are or anything. And that's always a victory in my book, yeah. Michael.
That's a win.
Yeah. So if you like,
I don't presume any of you are bad people.
Yeah.
I think you're doing what you think is best, and that's the best we can really accomplish.
Well, good. Michael, we appreciate you. And if you'd like, give us a call back. There are other really cool hosts that hang out here 7 p.m. Central Time. So
yeah, a lot of people who'd want to pick your brain about some of these ideas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yep, you have a good night. Stick around if you like. Listen to the rest of the show.
We have some other really, really cool calls. But real quick, just because I love to shill for really cool people, Brainbug, do you do something on like the weekends, like Saturday mornings? Yes. Or something? What time is that? Where is that?
Saturday, Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. We are live from the Hive on the Brainbug YouTube channel. Please come join us as we look at, we always have a bug of the week. We always do a bit of our cryptic corner. We do some creation watch where we look at some young earth creation stuff, and then we do some hive science too. So come check it out. Join us. Always fun. Saturday mornings in the Hive.
And just to give everyone a little bit of a taste, because we teased it earlier, we have somebody hanging out with us from Pennsylvania. Robert, it sounds like you've got something pretty interesting to tell us. Mothman is something everybody here is excited about. So what do you got for us, Robert?
Well, straight out, quite frankly, I'll be very direct. Valentine's Day 2007, 7:30 in the morning. I got up, I was kissing my wife goodbye in our driveway. And for all you and anybody who wants to Google it on Google Maps, you can look at my old house. It's a beach house in Ocean Shores, Washington. The address is 254.
Please don't do it. Hang on, Robert. Sorry. Just please don't give your address out or any identifying information just for your safety.
I moved. I'm done.
Okay. Somebody lives there, but okay. Go ahead with the rest of the story. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? They can see me. I don't give a rip. I'm just trying to be as realistic as I can. I mean, it's what I have to do for me. You know what I mean? But here's the thing, is that I was kissing her goodbye in the driveway. She was taking our family expedition in for an oil change at 7:30 in the morning. And over my head, I saw a big, I'll refer to it as an exodus of ravens or crows over my head. I was quite perplexed. I've never seen such a thing before. It was like 10,000 blackbirds, man. And they darkened in the most beautiful. For February, it was awesome. Very clear morning, like summer. So I looked between my 5-car garage and my home, and I see basically a winged man. He looked like Batman. I'm not going to say, you know, you see the Mothman pictures and the big wings and red eyes. No, not a chance. This guy looked like more like Batman, probably, you know, in the movies. And he didn't have big wings. I think, personally, that was because he had to fly between my house and my garage, which wasn't very, you know, I mean, I want to think that it was his diet. Because he got a bird and I think he was eating it. And as part of his diet, which is the first time anybody ever heard of it. And you can't expand your wings if you're in a tight place like that. So he just had him in and he was moving inline, streamline. But he flew right behind me, guy. And I heard the whack when he caught it. And he flew right behind me, I'm going to say about 5 feet and about 8 feet off the ground. And I spun my head around in front of my wife because he went from my right to my left. He flew up a face of a cedar tree across my street, came back down the same side, didn't go over. Went up the street like two lots. And these are lots where people, you know, bring their motorhomes and things like that during the, you know, the holiday season, mm-hmm. the summer. And I went, I didn't want to give her, I was a combat swimmer, man. You know, I mean, I've done a lot of stuff. I didn't want to put anything in her mind. So I looked, I said, what did you just see? And she said, I saw a winged man. Hmm. I never heard of the Mothman before. I was selling a property that day to a very good friend of mine in the area. He said, you saw the Mothman. I thought he was making a joke. Man, I'm going to tell you what, I never ripped more hair out of a man's chest. And I pulled him toward him. Is he making fun of me, Scott? There's no around, yeah. Man. He goes, that's true. You got to see this thing. And I said, I'm telling you something. I called the Ocean Shores Police Department. I mean, we can start with there. I'll start with there. He was about 7 feet long.
Yeah.
Black in color. It looked like almost like a rubber suit. I have excellent vision. And I could not quite focus. It was like, I'm going to refer to it as a digital skin. it kept almost vacillating. You just couldn't dial in on the specifics. No red eyes. I heard the whack. He caught the one crow. I'm going to assume it's 7:30 in the morning. It's probably his diet. But there's many more people that see it. Yep.
Yeah. I got two quick questions. I think one is, did you? It sounded like you were saying you didn't believe in this. You had never even heard of Mothman until you had this experience. Is that right?
Actually, the only thing I ever saw when before that, it was even a paranormal, was a little entity, and I'm going to refer to it as Yoda, which is strange because my dad was a 33rd degree Mason. You know, you guys hear on all these sites these days out there related to the devil stuff. You know what? Only the 1% of the highest Masons understand this, but they get their knowledge and their wisdom from this thing called Yoda. And if you look in the movie Star Wars, you see that, and you also see another little character called Chewbacca. Gee, ain't that a lot like Bigfoot?
Well, let me just pause for just a moment to put a sign right here, Robert, which is you absolutely have to call us back, man, in the future, because I know we are going to want to talk about that too. Okay. Cause that sounds really, really cool. So,
but back to the,
I'm really deep, man, but I mean, I don't want to call you back. Come on, man. Hear about the Mothman. I did see him.
Yeah. Tell us about Mothman today.
More than that. But I just don't want anybody to realize that it's a lie. That's all I want to know, just for your benefit. And I'll call you back when you want. You let me know, boss.
Yeah, so this call can be about the Mothman, then we can do another call about the Yoda guy and the Masons and stuff. Lot to unpack there. We want details about Mothman because I'm super excited about this.
It's all affiliated, though. It's affiliated. It's all the same. Everybody wants to know where they're from. Listen, in short, may I say one last thing? It says in the Bible that he cast Satan, the Lucifer, who wanted to be like God, into the center of the earth. And a third of the heavens went with him, of the angels.
So what do you think
winged things are? What do you think Sasquatch is? The Nephilim. I'm telling you something. They're not from outer space. They're from inner space. And one last thing. A TV. If you change the channel, if you just see one TV, but you change the channel, the frequency, you get to go from the Dukes of Hazzard, to Price is Right. It's one world. It's not parallel universes, and they're not way out there. They're right here among us. But it's our frequency.
Well, hang on.
Just change it a little bit.
Hang on a second, Robert.
I have degrees in the electromagnetic spectrum. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not letting you have to go. We're not letting you go, bud. We're just back to Mothman.
Yeah, I'm just saying for a future call, if you'd be interested in another Tuesday in the future. But I think Bree had just one or two more questions about the Mothman before we let you go, if you wanted to stick around and tell us.
I just want to ask about your sighting, like more details about it.
So yes, said, please. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, man. No, I got lots of knowledge, and I just really want to help you out.
Okay. Yeah. So I want to know about the wings a little bit. Were the wings flapping or was it gliding? Feathered wings?
Good question.
No, they weren't at all, man. And actually, to be honest, I tried to get my address to you, earlier. That's why you said not to do that. But it was to make a point because, the truth is philosophical and the fact is fact. You and I could both be driving in the car. Mm-hmm. You see a light, I see a light. Now, it could be a Chevy truck coming down a mountainside, or it could be UFO. It's still your truth, right? It's what you think. Mm-hmm. But a fact is a fact. We won't know until the FBI, whoever gets there and says, okay, we got the body, we got this, and it's a winged humanoid. Mm-hmm. All right, so that there's a difference.
That needs to really be considerable.
Yeah. Now,
well, hang on just a second, Robert, because we had a couple of specific questions. I know Bree was looking at, but we do still have a couple of other calls. So I want to ask kind of a general question, because it sounded like you were saying that Bigfoot and where the Masons get all of their information from is some other type of creature, and Mothman and aliens and stuff, like all of this is kind of rolled up, the Nephilim even. is there something you
I can bring it to a pinnacle?
Yeah, is there something you can bring you think of?
My answer that the world wants just to know, but everybody's scared. That's the truth.
Just hang on for me there, Robert. I got you on mute for just a second, okay? Because I want to get this out. It's real quick. Is there something that you could think of that would disprove these theories, these thoughts, you know? Like for me, for instance, if I said to myself, you know, my car is outside, it's in my driveway. If I walked outside and looked and my car wasn't there, like, hey, I could just be dreaming, right? Or maybe somebody put a blanket over it that's invisibility cloak or something, right? But that would be something that could kind of falsify that thought for me. Is there something you could think of that could falsify this? And I'm gonna bring you back on, man. Sorry about the mute.
No problem. Not a snowball's chance in hell, man. And that okay. The thing is what I just said. The truth, and I mean all that with respect to the listeners, to all you guys. I mean, it's I think your show is great. And by the way, I back Ethan. He's the king. So in sharper contrast, I just want to say that, man, I trained under my, you know, I mean, I'm a professional athlete. I've done a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff. And there's certain things in a certain period of time that happened to me that actually, in short, cost me my family $2 million. I had to move from where I was from. I had to get the feds involved. I mean, it was bad. So when everybody really wants to get hear the real meat potatoes, take our time, man. You got to show just for me a little bit. It might take a little time.
Well,
not on Coast to Coast Radio. They can do that. But, you know, just to help you out for the moment, you know, I mean, but no, sir, no. What I'm saying is a fact.
Okay.
And it was traumatizing.
Well, Robert, I don't know if you're familiar with Facebook. It's a small little online company thing. And then there's this other one called Discord. I know that the Your Friendly Neighborhood Atheist Facebook and Discord would be a wonderful place if you want to engage and interact with some people.
With us too. We're there.
With us, yeah. In fact, I think we're gonna do something after the show, right, Bree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After
well
the show.
Well,
yeah.
Robert, we really
would you guys
appreciate
friend
you.
Me, man? Because I really, you know what, I was the same way, boss, but I just have something that's considerable. See, you know, doctrine's one thing. Everybody hears one thing. And then the next thing you know, it's gospel. Mm-hmm. I don't go that way. I mean, I have degrees in like the, you know, electromagnetic spectrum. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sharp, like a big brain, and I'm considerable. And I like to talk with guys like yourself so we can come down and finally get to, you know, the brass tacks of the matter.
That's what we like to do here.
We enjoy
sure.
engaging with you. I enjoy your Mothman sighting. I'm gonna sit on it and think about it and come up with some questions for you for next time that we interact. That I'll be able to, and maybe interacting back and forth via text would be easier because you could really put your descriptors to work and use that big brain.
I think that would behoove both of you guys before we even probably did another show for Ethan, because I think that what I'm just saying. I don't think that he is prepared for the real deal today with somebody with the ammunition, the brain power, the sincerity, and the experience. And, you know, it's like if somebody killed your wife and they ask you, well, how do you know you did? It's like, are you shitting me, man? And pardon my language. I'm sorry. Are you
yeah,
kidding
right,
me?
Man.
You know the pain you've been through. So I'm just, in short, I'm just saying, sharper contrast. I'm just, you know, this is how it was for me. And all I can tell you is the facts. You can come to your own conclusions. I'm not going to tell you what to believe. I'm not going to persuade it. But yeah, please call me. And of utmost importance, this means the world to me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I need to get this out. It means the world to me. That's the most important. I'm please. I like to think that you're never going to regret what you if you keep on staying in touch with me.
All
please
right,
me,
Robert.
You message me,
Robert.
Let's do it.
Robert, yeah, definitely come if you're up for it. Stick around and are you out in the? We're on YouTube and on Facebook, but if you're on the YouTube chat, we're gonna be doing a Discord after show. There'll be some links available. Come talk. We got a whole panel of folks like us you can talk to here in about what is about 35 minutes or so.
And you guys gotta call me. I'm 55. I got a brain injury from boxing. I trained under Muhammad Ali. I was eighth in the world, so I'm not really privy, you know, to
Robert,
all this YouTube business, but.
Robert, we appreciate you so much, and we're gonna we're going to let you go. But thank you so, so much. And yeah, I would love to interact with that again. I would love, there was a lot there, I think. Your questions about the wings, those were good. Those were good.
I didn't get a chance to really delve into it too much. Yeah. So he wanted to talk about some other things and kind of went a little bit off the rail. If I could keep him, get him on the call again and maybe keep him focused on the Mothman stuff, I think we could really unpack some cool concepts and kind of figure out maybe even come up with some ideas about what was actually happening and what he was witnessing.
Because that's a big creature. I mean, what he was describing was large, you know?
Right. And eating birds and interacting with the environment.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a lot to dive into, definitely. But we do have some great calls waiting in the back line here. Let's see. We have. Oh, do you want to talk about the Bible code? I know you want to talk about the Bible code.
Let's do some Bible code. Let's do some Bible code.
All right. Cody, you are on with Secular Rarity and Brain Bug, and we are interested in what you have to say about the Bible code.
That's great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I'm interested in relating my experience of I guess you could call it a conversion over a period of years, away from a solid bedrock of skeptical materialism, and I have become, so to speak, a believer, and sort of a part of it is learning about this Bible code I speak of.
Okay.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I can sort of start with some of the reasons about, why I sort of rejected my hometown versions of religion and Christianity. It was just.
Oh, you don't have to explain that to us. We're on the same page there. Let's talk about the Bible code though. What you're finding in that. You don't have to worry about telling us about your deconversion from. But if you want to tell your deconversion story, I'll mention something at the end of our call with someone who might want to talk to you. But go ahead.
But in summary, it appeared to me that this God of the Christians was, completely immoral and illogical, and part of the reason was because they were going around threatening everyone and all the young children with hell. Unless they adhered to this set of specific beliefs and this specific historic person who, sacrificed himself and died for your sins, and all you have to do is believe that he did all this to be saved. But you have to believe all of it to be saved, And that just really shook me to my core
Cody, how did you come to the understanding of this code? That's something for me that's really, really intriguing. What was that process that led you to understanding?
Yeah, where'd you first learn about it?
Yeah.
I just continued to learn how to think, and I studied the natural sciences a little bit, and I started getting into different kinds of natural sciences, and I started looking into the mythologies and world religions, and really, really looking at it. But I didn't want to look at Christianity because it was just too weird, and
too weird.
Frankly, it was triggering. So yeah, I could get into say Taoism or something, and I read the Tao Te Ching, and it kind of stuck with me. There's something real in there that I could resonate with. It was just sort of a book about nothing, essentially. Hmm. So it's okay, it's just a way of thinking about, nothing is everything. It's the center around which everything spins. And it's okay, well, I'm definitely more into science than into anything mystical like that. But it would just like didn't make me sick. You know what I mean?
Okay. There's a let's take just a quick break here, just to kind of try to understand what you're explaining to us. Make sure that we're all understanding the same thing. We're not misunderstanding or misrepresenting your journey here. Is that you started looking into some mysticism, but also looking into some, you know, some science and some mainstream science, it sounds like, which is, you know, excellent, and looking into different world cultures and religious beliefs. So where do we mesh on the Bible code from here?
Well, I heard someone in college tell me that you know, Jesus is a liberal, right? And that struck me just so counterintuitively that I didn't believe him for like 10 years or there's at least like five. And then I went back and actually read, I actually read the Bible, and I was like, how could anybody possibly believe anything else about the Bible? I was just shocked.
Yeah.
And the Bible code is how I sort of like uncovered, this is what the authors were intending to say. And you know, this is how you know. And that's it.
Yeah, tell us
a correct interpretation of the Bible.
Okay, is this Old Testament or New Testament or both? Where's the Bible code at?
The New Testament in particular, but it definitely sheds a lot of light on the Old Testament as well. So that's another, you know.
So when I think of the word code, Cody, oftentimes what I think of is like, here's a really cool symbol. And then I just know beforehand, because I wrote the ledger, that symbol means dog. And then here's another symbol. And then that symbol means run.
Like a cipher. Yeah.
Right. Is that kind of what you're describing here? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Intentional way to sort of hide information in plain sight.
So what does that code look like for us in the Bible? I'm still not sure I know I see that yet.
It looks like basic modern literary analysis.
So it's an analysis of the biblical text.
Applying logic. Yeah, applying logic to text, assuming that if the text is self-consistent and all the references, you know, the symbols are, you know, the metaphors and the different words that are used. And if you have the most consistent way of sort of, you know, alluding to, you know, all these different passages in the same ways using these same references, you know, and you see it over and over and over and over again, there is some convincing weight behind this sort of self-coherency. And when you see interpretations that when you apply them the same way and they produce contradictory references.
Okay. Just real quick. I'm not going to necessarily want to get into a debate with you about it, but the biblical, the Bible is not internally consistent, right? So we know that it has some inconsistencies within the text. How do you reconcile things like that when you're doing your coding for the Bible?
Well, you really have to assume that they included those inconsistencies on purpose. And the reason you have to assume it first, okay, but before you sort of pass over that explanation. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Do you feel like
as a hypothesis?
Yeah. Do you feel like that's a bit circular? That you're already assuming that the inconsistencies, quote unquote, are not inconsistencies, and then you're using the inconsistencies to prove. Do you see what I'm saying? It seems a little like you're assuming that the Bible, what the Bible is saying, your interpretation is already correct from the beginning.
If I treated it a certain way, it, you know, it would be a fallacy. But in the way that I mean it, it's sort of like how you have to assume something in order to prove that the assumptions are true. So if the conclusion is not self-contradictory, you know,
and you
assume other things, though, right?
Is self-contradictory. What?
Don't you assume other things to then prove this thing is true? You don't assume the thing that you then try to prove is true, right? Because then that would be circular, right?
Not in a mathematical, like sort of like through your premises in axioms. So if they combine according to agreed on basic logical rules, and they're not self-contradictory, and if you assume that they're false, and that does produce a contradiction, then that's a proof by contradiction that the assumptions and premises validly produce the conclusion.
Can we talk about some of the logistics of this before we get too far into it? Because there's some things that I have questions about. So we have several versions of the Bible that are written in different formats. We have different books of the Bible that we know are written by different authors. Different hands had their part in it. Are these individuals who were writing this, are they the ones that did this coding? Because we're talking about different stories that were added and removed and things have been, the Bible's the Bible's been pretty fluid for the last couple thousand years. So
just has been a little bit fluid. There have been more changes to the Bible that didn't really change any meaning, but I think the biggest change was the translation, wouldn't you think?
Well, I think the biggest change was the removal of huge volumes of text. Yeah. There's several books.
Things book read a Judah, lot. Yeah, with Judah and Thomas Enoch. And Enoch. Yeah,
Enoch's huge.
Yeah.
You have like these apocrypha and these pseudo epigraphia, and you know they apparently applied the code to be able to know that they weren't genuine, because all the other texts
in Nicaea
did follow the same structure, and you know they reference each other.
Who decided to remove the books? Was that done? Old Testament. Who you say they? Who's the they? That's who I want to know.
All of the authors reference each other. Not always. Like you can't, you can't make the assumption that they're always referencing each other and they're always making a code. But you always have to check, you know, or you're just not being thorough in your investigation or analysis. Well, so,
Cody, we have a few more minutes before we have to wrap the whole show up tonight. But once again, can I just say, I know Brainbug and I really appreciate you again, just being able to come here and speak cordially and honestly.
We got your claim and
yeah, because it? Look, I mean, you know,
I'm having a great time.
Yeah. And the world's not going to end just because we disagree on something, right? We could still all wake up tomorrow and have delicious breakfast. I'm thinking hash browns.
I'm still triggered by the conservative Christians.
Well,
so
I think
they're good. I'm actually wanted to get to my findings about what the Bible code revealed, which was that Jesus.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. He never says that you have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins to be saved, ever. Nor does Paul say it. They often say, you know, in English it's believe in Jesus or believe in the name of Jesus or do this in Jesus' name.
But isn't one of the authentic letters of Paul the one where it says that if Christ did not raise, then your faith is in vain? I mean, that was an authentic letter, wasn't it? One of the seven?
Guys, come on. You're getting down a whole other rabbit hole. You guys need to have this conversation on another call. We have to wrap up. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You got me excited, Cody. Would you want to call back sometime when either of us or any of the other cool hosts are on?
Yeah, I'd love that. If I could just say my punchline and then I'll be satisfied.
We'll give you 30 more seconds, Cody, because we got two other really cool calls that have been waiting for us. Okay, wrap us up.
The First John passages that say that God is love, you know, either you pretend that doesn't exist in the Bible, or you know, you're making a choice to leave it out, and that's cherry picking, right? So if Pascal's wager is believe in God or go to hell, it's really just believe in love. After all, that's the only message of the Bible. And the way that everybody else has played it out, you know, has played to the ego, it's played to control, it's played to illegitimate power, and you know, all of these terrible things, just because, you know, they couldn't use basic logic. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much, Cody. We really appreciate you.
All right.
Yeah.
That was a great call, Cody. Thank you so much for reaching out today and sharing your assessment of the Bible code. We'll definitely want to revisit that at some point.
There's some really cool stuff when you start digging into the history of the books and what the actual tablets are that we have of this stuff. We got two really cool calls left after some other really cool calls, huh? You think we can get to both of them?
Oh yeah, if we can, we can just power through them.
Let's do it. I like Phoenix in Virginia first. All right. Phoenix, how are you?
Hello.
Hey. It sounds like you have a pretty cool little story about you did some investigation on your own. Is that right? Of some paranormal stuff? What happened?
Yes. I had a friend ask me to come and check his house out because he started to get afraid of it. And he knew I did. I do solo paranormal investigations just out of hobby, not out of anything else. Well, we went to his house, and when we walked in, all the faucets, the kitchen faucet, the two bathrooms, all the water was running in the bathtubs, everything. And I said, "Did you turn everything off before you came and got me?" He said, "Yeah, everything was off. Why would I have it all turned on anyway?" So I pulled out my little gadget on my phone and everything, because I wasn't expecting that to happen so suddenly, because usually when I go and do something like that, it's pretty quiet and dead, and I try to analyze and things like that to see. And so it kind of startled me to see the water was already turned on before any questions were started. And I was getting the words portal and demon. And so this weekend we have plans to go. I have plans to go back to the person's house to do a further investigation, because I'm a very skeptic person, and it kind of caught my curiosity, I should say, on some of the things that were coming out of the spirit box. And
for our audience,
doing the research on the house, and it's all correlating together.
For our audience, real quick, would you just explain what your spirit box is?
Yeah, yeah.
I use the ghost lab.
Okay. What does it do, though?
And necrophonia.
Are these like programs, like computer programs, or?
Yeah, you could go on your phone. The necrophonia is like $12.99, and there's a lot of paranormal teams that use them.
Oh, okay. It's like an app, or is it a product that you buy? It's actually a physical product.
Yes, the necrophonia you would buy for $12.99, and it's an app for your phone.
Okay.
The ghost tube is free.
And you, okay. you pick up voices on them. You pick up is there visual yes. context to them?
Yes, and also the ghost tube one has a little. I call it little. It has like a little magnet on it for your K2. Uh-huh. So it's a. I like that one best because it has like multiple different things you can do with the app.
So what is it? How does it? How do these apps? Because I'm totally unfamiliar with these. They sound really interesting. How do you know that it got something? Like, what is it? Does it like blink a light, or does it like play a sound? Or
no, the word it comes out. It has a word dictionary, and certain words to come out. Like some of the names that came out on it came out to be. My client's great grandmother's name, which is not in that dictionary of the app. But it's like it gives the spirit a voice.
It speaks the words that the ghosts are saying.
Yes. And I, like I said, I'm a skeptic, so I don't know exactly, you know, I'm going to try different equipment and things mm-hmm. like that, because I'm not going to say definitively there's a haunted house, you know. I'm trying to dig further.
So what?
And that's why I'm going to do another follow-up investigation and dig further yeah. with different apps or you know, because I like to try different paranormal equipment.
Okay. Yeah. Are the apps the only equipment you're bringing with you so far? The only thing you brought with you to bring any recording devices or anything?
This weekend, I will be bringing the SLS camera.
Okay. Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So your device there, I looked at the ghost tube when looked at the features on it. So you have electric, an EMF detector. You have.
Mm-hmm.
An EVP recorder.
How does the phone mm-hmm. detect EMFs?
It says that using the phone's built-in magnetometer. I didn't know our phones had magnetometers.
Either. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's interesting. Yeah. What would Phoenix? What would you may have heard me ask something similar like this? I just kind of dig from the same well over and over. I'm just a walking, you know, cliche. But what if you go out in 2 weeks? What could appear for you on the SLS camera or these other apps or any of these other programs? What could show up that maybe disconfirms what you experienced before? Is there something that could appear or show up that maybe makes you feel like, hey, I'm more skeptical of this?
Well, we have seen a couple of shadows, but, you know, like being skeptic, I'm like, maybe it's light play or something like that. So before I say, yes, you have a serious problem here, I want to try other equipment and divulge more into the history of the home, the land, the family history with some of the names that we came out with and the spirit box came out with and things like that to see if it all connects in some way.
Let me try.
And for me to not be accepted. And for me to say I'm not a skeptic anymore, I would literally have to have the spirit or ghost or however anybody wants to call it actually touch me or some type of physical way that I know nobody else is around me and they actually reach out to me.
Okay.
So some kind of physical contact is what you would take the cement things for you. So, but I think that, and that's right. that's a good place to be. Disconfirm kind of like maybe something like you find out there's some infrasound in there that's causing which is an audio frequency that causes you to be uneasy and kind of triggers those parts of your brain that starts looking for shadows and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did you hear what Brainbug just said? Just could you think of something that maybe would indicate that would maybe disconfirm these thoughts for you? Like, let me give you a quick example. So if I have a box and it's completely sealed and I can't see inside the box, but I feel something moving in there, I say, it's a rat, right? It's a little mouse, right? Well, I look down and I see some fur, right? I see some gray fur and I think, well, yeah, you know, mice have gray fur. That's right. But then I lift the box up and I put it on a scale and it weighs like 6 pounds. Like, that's way too big for a mouse, right? Like, that would be something that would disconfirm my thought that a mouse was in that box. Is there something like that that you could think of?
That's what I am currently thinking on.
Okay. Okay.
I'm trying to figure something out for this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely think that's really good. Because I feel like a lot of times it's, and this is me too, I feel like a lot of times it's easier for me to confirm the thing that I kind of already thought rather than like disproving it. You know, it always feels like it's harder for me to do that, but there's a good reason that we try to go that route, right? Because otherwise we just start, you know, believing in anything and we just don't know what's real.
Exactly.
Right. Well, we look forward to hearing.
I always welcome others to come and join me if they like, because it would be great to have a little more help than just trying to fiddle with everything on my own.
Have you heard about this wonderful YFNA Facebook group and Discord channel? You gots to come hang out and talk to some people and maybe if there are some people in your area that can meet up. I mean, I'm only in Tennessee. We're neighbors, you know, we touch right over at Bristol area. So that's not too far. But if you would like, I think all of the viewers out there, everybody listening back tomorrow and in the future would really love it if when you do this other investigation, if you just come back and kind of, you know, just explain it to us again and just tell us what happened this time. And if maybe, you know, it solidified your thoughts or maybe kind of shook them a little bit, because either way I think we'd have a fun time.
Yeah, we're always ready for your update.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any last words before we pop over to our last call tonight?
I
all I gotta say is I know the truth is out there somewhere, and you just can't think black or white. There's always a gray zone to everything.
Well, Phoenix, we really appreciate you. This was fun.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep. Good night.
Man.
Well,
we had some good calls.
Yeah. It's been a good night. Really had a variety too. That's always nice when we get to mix things up a little bit.
That is.
Our next caller we have on the line is Travis from Michigan, and they're writing a book about about paranormal experiences, and it's open to questions about it. So, Travis, you are on with Brainbug and Secular Rarity, and we want to know what your book's about. What's going on?
Hello. Well, my book will be about my entire life.
You've had these paranormal experiences regularly throughout your whole life.
My family has been haunted.
Oh wow.
Haunted. My family was haunted for generations. And the paranormal experiences and demonic attacks I've suffered have brought exorcists into our home and prompted me to become a paranormal investigator and exorcist myself.
Oh, you're an exorcist. That's amazing. How many exorcisms have you done?
Four.
Were they all successful?
Yes.
Okay. So
they're always costly.
You're exercising demons?
Certainly.
And
yes.
Ghosts too, or just
spiritual infestations generally can be moved on gently and easily. You don't have to go so far as to an exorcism. An exorcism is performed when it's a demonic presence, and that is serious spiritual warfare.
So you're saying there's a difference between like ghosts and spirits and demons. Like they're not the same type of existence. Is that, so how do you know,
correct?
How do you know when it's a demon instead of a spirit? What's the criteria?
Where the tells? Yeah.
Yeah.
There is so much to involved with that in deciding that it is an actual demonic attack as opposed to an evil spirit, an angry spirit, mental illness.
Interesting.
Many of these things can be manifested by mental illnesses, you know, personal actions and reactions. And that is always a massive part of that type of a situation.
So then what would you,
the person's, go ahead.
So how do you so that's the big one too, right there, mental illness. How do you differentiate that? How do you rule that out?
Yeah.
Reactions to speaking of the name of Jesus, the reactions to holy water, spiritual prayers will indicate a massive difference. The reaction the person who is suffering being possessed reacts completely differently if it's actually demonic as opposed to spiritual.
But could a mentally ill person
attachment
have
can ruin your world?
Could a mentally ill person have those reactions as well? Couldn't a mentally ill person also have those like reactions to Jesus's name and the holy water, just as a
unfortunately, yes, sometimes that can be part of the issue, and that makes exorcisms very delicate, very difficult to assess the actual need.
So is there something that's like a huge red flag that it's just like, yo,
like levitating or anything like that?
There's nothing else. We are positive if X is present, if Y is there, we know it's not mental illness. We know it's in the realm of spirit, angry spirit, demon. Is there anything that definitively cuts that line for us, or? Okay. What?
There are some like serious indications. One of which is odor. The smell of feces is overwhelming in a demonic presence.
But could also be present with mental
rotting
ill
flesh.
Yeah, rotting flesh. Now that's
no. They can't generate the odor. You know, sure. Of course, they could poo themselves, make a mess.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's more what I was talking
about.
It's
not the same. It is not the same at all. It is such an overwhelming, gagging, retching stench. It's crippling. It's not just walking into a room and somebody shit themselves. No, this is a crippling physical reaction you can't stop.
Okay.
That
so
is a definitive sign of a demonic presence.
And is the odor just coming from the individual that you're saying is possessed, or is it like if you picked up the person and you put them in a different room, would the whole room start to smell bad?
The odor permeates the entire room.
So it originates with the person.
Around the person, yes.
Okay.
And the entire room will have this odor to it. Sometimes, depending on how strong it is, the entire house can be terrible. When we had to have exorcisms done at, I'm sorry.
I keep cutting you off. I think there's a little bit of a delay for me. It has been driving me crazy all night, so I apologize. But so it's the smell is feces and rotting flesh. Is that just an apt description of it? A combination of those two is always the same. Is it always the same smell, or does each situation have its own unique smell?
That's a good question.
Well, it's not an identical smell each time, but it's the very similar odors.
Okay. I would have expected a sulfur smell or something.
Do you hunt? Are you a hunter at all, perchance? Spend time in the forest? Ever wander up and accidentally come across a dead animal that had been rotting for a couple of weeks?
It's not great.
Magnify that by about 100 times in a closet.
So has there ever been a time where you knew it was a demon or a spirit that was, let's say, possessing this person, but you didn't have that odor, that rotting flesh, feces kind of smell? Has there ever been that, or is that always?
Not in my personal experience.
But others have.
Not in my personal experiences. From readings, from research I've done, yes.
Interesting.
All right. You said there were several. What else do we got? We got odor and what other tells that
physical burns from holy water.
Physical burns, like you can see the marks from the holy water.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, like in a short enough time that it's obvious, like you drop the water on the person and then
it'll react almost like an acid.
Interesting.
It's now.
Interesting.
And you've seen that
firsthand?
The movies
get that part right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we have burning holy water.
The entire facial change that happens. Hmm. I'm sorry.
A facial change. Well, that sounds like something we could actually catch on video.
Possessed, it becomes a melding of the person's face and the spirit within.
So
if it's just a ghost, you don't see that. You might see a change in the person's eyes, but their face and features will not take on a physical change.
So
with a demonic presence, they take a physical change.
Have you ever captured any of this on camera or on video?
No.
No? Okay, because I've seen different people do that, have videos with their exorcisms and stuff.
Definitely.
I actually talked about a guy who does exorcisms and videos of them all. So, that would be interesting to see that.
For some reason, I never even considered that. That was never anything that was even a consideration of mine. Even though I'm a big fan of most of the paranormal shows that are on nowadays.
Right.
I never did that. In those instances, because that's a different circumstance to me. If I were to go out and do an investigation of a supposed haunted house, I'd film all that.
So
when it comes to this horrible, potentially life-threatening personal experience that's happening to a family in their house, I'm not taking pictures.
Yeah,
I don't need them.
I understand the privacy stuff, I'm sure everybody really appreciates that.
Well, you see, I've experienced it myself.
Sure. There was one thing you said.
My own home.
Yeah. There was one thing you said a moment ago, Travis. If we could just touch back on it real quick, because it's kind of been rattling around my brain. It sounded like you said that when somebody is possessed with a spirit, you don't see the physical facial features change like you do when it's a demon. Did I understand that right?
Yes.
Why do you think that is? What do you think is different about them that causes
isn't that strong.
Oh, so it's
demons are stronger.
Interesting. Okay.
Is there like a hierarchy? Is like demon, spirit, ghost, or?
Well, I wouldn't say so much like a hierarchy per se, but a human spirit or soul, however you wish to refer to it, does not have the power that a demon has. A demon has all the powers it had as an angel before they were cast from heaven.
So these are
the only power Satan didn't have.
Just and I know you said you mentioned that. You had mentioned about Jesus Christ before in aversion to that name. So are all demons Christian?
It's not that they're Christian. They have no choice but to bow, for his power is superior to theirs and overwhelms.
So what about what would you say to the people who are, like, let's say in, I don't know, a northern state in India, and they've lived there for the last 40 years of their life, and they are confident that they have essentially Hindu demons? What would you, are they just mistaken and they're actually the same demons that you're talking about, or are they the same? I mean, what does that make sense? I'm sorry.
Are there demons of other cultures too? I mean, yeah.
Thank you, Bree. Thank you. Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Yes, you could put it that way.
So no, like Japan certainly has a number of demons.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And I would say that's a very good question. No one's ever actually posed that to me before. Hmm. That gives me food for thought as to how to correctly answer that.
Well, I am a big fan.
The demonic presence will adapt to who they're trying to mess with.
Hmm.
I have to work to censor myself. I have a very vulgar vocabulary.
Yeah, we've said some dirty words once in a while here, Travis. But I will say,
I made drunken sailors and truck drivers blush.
Well,
some of my friends are listening. They know.
You've kept it very clean for us tonight.
Yeah, Travis. Yeah. Honestly, Brainbug's the one with the potty mouth tonight. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, I'm pausing here and there just so that I don't get on a ramble and the F-bomb comes out every third word, because me and Samuel Jackson, boy, we're some MFing mothers.
Well.
So this could get real bad and the FCC start complaining at you guys because you had this asshole on there that uses the F word like it's a noun.
Well,
the prepositional phrase.
Travis, I think you said something there a second ago that I gotta say, I think I really, really love, which is when a question gets asked to somebody and the response is, well, gosh, I need to think about that. That's something different. Because I think that is, I mean, I think that's why all of us here, you know, Brainbug, myself, Ethan, all the other really cool hosts, that's why we love having these conversations, is because there's always more stuff out there for us to think about. And I know we've asked everybody else practically already, but Travis, I mean, would you want to think about that for maybe a week and give us a call next Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central time?
Well, actually, right, I've already come to a very, what I find to be a very reasonable conclusion.
Yeah,
I could
go for
upon it.
It
next week if, for that matter, if I come up with more. But I'm finding that what they would do is adapt themselves culturally to the people they're dealing with.
Interesting.
But they would still be averse.
They're an entity in the first place. Here, I've showed up in China. They do all of this. This is how these people are. So I'm going to fuck with them like this, because that's what their culture is.
Interesting.
So, here's one quick follow-up question to that, though, because like you were talking about the name of Christ. Is that Christ in any language then? So if they say, you say Christ in Chinese to a demon in China, it'll respond to it?
Now, that's what Anglo-Saxon Christianity wants you to believe. That it is the name of Jesus Christ specifically. In our language, in English, it is that name. In Spanish and Mexican, it's Jesus Cristo. Hmm. And it means the same thing, and it has the same power. I don't know what it is specifically in Latin anymore, sure. Nor do I remember
Christo
the German.
Cristo means the
word, it's not, the languages adapt the words mean the same thing. The comparable word for the Son of God in German means the same thing as Jesus Christ in English.
It sounds like you're saying there's an underlying power behind maybe the intention itself that is a yes. thread that ties through, and it's not necessarily the grunts and you know sounds that our mouth makes. It's that kind of focus and intention more than anything.
Yes, it is.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I think
otherwise God would have said, this is the language you speak. And this is the only language you speak. That you will never find in any version of the Bible.
Well, I think that we're supposed to have also
God separated the masses. I'm sorry, I missed that.
I think we're all supposed to have spoke the same language until Babel, right? So the confusing of the
yes.
language.
And because no one would leave, everybody spoke the same language. No one would leave. There was a massive population in one spot on the whole globe. So God separated the languages. The groups of people that had those specific languages wandered off and built their own communities somewhere else. Everybody separated and did their own thing because all of a sudden we can't make any sense out of what anybody else is saying except each other.
Interesting. Well,
I mean, you
because
think
man is such a pack animal, they wouldn't go away.
But you think languages evolved naturally, right? I mean, you don't believe that there was just everybody spoke different languages. You believe that gradually over as people moved away from each other, their languages evolved and changed over time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
My belief about creation is completely different than everybody else's.
Oh, well, Travis, you're definitely going to have to call us back. You know that, right? If you're gonna tell us that
evolution are both correct
at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
You're saying creation and evolution at the same time.
That's all.
They're both correct.
Well, yeah, I think
man's just been too arrogant to see it.
Oh goodness! Oh, we got so much that we can dive into here.
You're gonna have to call us back.
We're actually well over time now, but it's been so much fun talking to you, Travis. So it sounds like we need to, again, we've said this to everybody who's called, but there's nobody who called tonight that I wouldn't talk to again.
I agree.
You all have been great. Travis, you're definitely included in that. So thank you for giving us a call tonight and bringing your experiences did you want to, you have a publisher or anything? Do you want to plug your book or is it still a ways in the waiting?
No, not yet. I'm still it's all in my head. I'm working on the outline for it. It's going to go fast as soon as I sit down to the keyboard because it's all just rehashing my personal history.
Well, definitely.
It's not something I have to work out. It's just, okay, I've got to put myself there again. God damn it. And I have to relive this and type it at the same time.
We'll definitely update us on that, Travis. And it sounds like you've got a lot of other really, really cool things. And even though it won't always be Bree and myself, there are some other really, really cool people that would just love to chop it up and hash it out with just the same. So,
yes.
Cool.
All right.
Well, I'll call next week. We'll see what we can get into.
Awesome. Yes, awesome.
All right, we look forward to hearing you, and I'm gonna be listening because I won't be hosting next week, but I'll be listening if you're gonna call, Travis.
I bet there will be some really, really cool stuff. I think I would love to dive into the creationism and evolution at the same time. We got that right at the end, and it was like, it was a good time though. It was a lot of really cool stuff. Good calls.
Yeah. All right.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good.
We had a huge variety of calls today.
Mm-hmm. We got a God one. I think almost the entire time I've been on, it's been, you know, Bigfoots and aliens and ghosts, which I love, but it had been a while. We hadn't got Jesus and Bible stuff. So that's
agreed.
Good.
I miss those. I always wish we had like one of those per episode to kind of balance it out a little bit better.
I miss YEC calls, so I would love to get some Young Earth Creationist calls. Not as much as I would love my werewolf call that I've been begging for, but
well, somebody out there posted in a werewolf group at the start of this episode, so we'll see if we can get some werewolf calls coming up in the next couple weeks.
This little guy's been feisty all night, jumping all over the place.
Stole the show, honestly. I was like, Mantis, you got this.
So I'd like to thank our top tier patrons real quick. Cindy Plaza, Left Right Left, Ryan Hammond, Kenneth Leonard, Sky, Secular Rarity, Philip Leach, Richard Gilliver, Underscore Atheism, Amit Matthew, Ray Sylvester, and Gerudo San. Amit Matthew will actually be making his debut on The Perspective next week with Kenneth Leonard.
Yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
So, and then for those who don't know, we jump to Discord after the show and do a Discord after show. But Brainbug, what do you have coming up?
We talked about it earlier in the show. I got my Saturday streams at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, live from the Hive. Come check it out. We also got Crypto Corner. I do a restream of that every Friday night at 8, so come hang out with me in the side chat and watch some Bigfoot stuff and have some fun.
Nice. And how about you, SR?
I hang out every so often over at the nonprofits for the ACA, so Sundays 3 p.m. Central Time. Otherwise, keep yelling at Ethan on Facebook and he'll say, "All right, shut up. I'll have SR back on again." So.
Awesome. Well, we will see everyone in the after show. And then don't forget Thursday night, the pickup line at 9 p.m. Central. This time we are covering dating and the internet. Have a good week, everyone.